In Ezekiel chapter 37, abiding in the Holy Spirit, the Ruach of God. I'm sure you all know what that means, right? Before you know what it means, let's go ahead and just pronounce it. Ruach. Okay, together. Ruach. Together. Ruach. So just be careful you don't spit up on the person in front of you. But you have that guttural sound. Literally, the Hebrew ruach means breath. And it's translated spirit. So, as I use that word, and I'm going to interchange two words. Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, and breath. Both the same thing. I want you to start connecting the two together. When you think about breath, sometimes we forget we breathe. Normally, we don't think about it. Aren't you thankful that it's automatic? Can you say amen to that? Can you imagine if we had to stop and think to breathe? That could be kind of weird, right? But fortunately, God designed this amazing body and this respiratory system that breathes automatically for a really long time. It's pretty amazing. Man, aren't you thankful that it usually lasts a really long time? Can you say amen to that? Did you know, and babies don't breathe, you know, obviously. Do you know that, right? That would be really weird, wouldn't it? But it's amazing how God, the minute that baby comes out, it starts breathing. That is like so cool. And all of a sudden, the whole system changes, and it's a miracle when you begin to think of what God does and how He puts that all together. It's so awesome how God designed us. And sometimes we forget the importance of breathing, and God uses and helped us understand His Holy Spirit by way of His breath and the life that it brings. I don't know if a week doesn't go by, if you look carefully, you'll see some report of someone's life who was saved by CPR and mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. I was just hearing about a recent report where there were some first responders who came to a situation and they had a choice to resuscitate or not. And as the story was unfolding, it was, you know, had something to do with the fact, because a lot of people who do first responding like that know that resuscitation isn't always successful, and sometimes it's frustrating to get into that. But in this case, they made the decision, even though they weren't sure they wanted to do it, to go ahead and do it. And guess what happened? The heart started beating again, breath started to take place, and that person was resuscitated. You see, it does work. I just read an article, 11-year-old boy saved his mom. I mean, she was obviously in trouble, and he did CPR and mouth-to-mouth, and he did all you're supposed to do, dialed 911, and the dispatch operator, you know, helped the boy through it, and mom is alive today because of the breath of 11-year-old son into her lungs. Isn't that awesome? You begin to reflect on those kinds of things. You begin to realize we have the power of life in us, and you have the power of death. That's why we have breath mints. We breathe life, and we can breathe death. Can you say amen to that? I mean, when you think about how little oxygen there really is, you know, our atmosphere is mostly nitrogen, and there's only about 21% oxygen, and it depends upon where you live how much other stuff's in the air. You know, if you live in Los Angeles, it's like 3% miscellaneous. That's why you feel like it, you know, you feel it in your chest and you can kind of chew on it as you breathe. I miss that. You know, some of you from the big city, don't you miss smog and just that feeling in your lungs? Every now and then I got to go to the big city and just feel the pressure and the smog filtering through my system. But when you think about only 21%, 20.9%, more specifically, has to do with oxygen, and yet we can breathe in and still breathe out enough that life can be sustained and recovered. Not by accident that God literally brings life through breath. Matter of fact, the very beginning, the creation of man, Genesis chapter 2, it says that the Lord God formed a man's body from the dust of the ground. I want you to know, mankind was formed out of dirt. You are dirt. You can turn to the person next to you and say, you know what? You are dirt. And you would be accurate, because the very word, did you know Adam or Adam in the Hebrew means dirt? I mean, not very glamorous, is it? But look what the word says, that he formed man's body. Notice you can only say that to guys, though. Can you say amen to that? Man, I could go someplace with that, but I won't. And Jimmy, you better say amen to that. And so he took that dirt and he breathed into it the breath of life. And the man became a living person. In order for man to become living, God breathed, and it's not an exact metaphor, but he did resuscitation. He breathed life by his breath, or, as we understand, right, Ruach, the Holy Spirit. And the minute that happened, life came. I want you to understand that the Ruach of God is life. It is literally life. And without that life, there's death. And there ought to be something that stirs in us that I believe is so critical to the church today. Because too often we do not take seriously the Ruach, the Spirit of God, the life of God, and we tend to minimize it too often and almost like it's not that big of a deal. This is huge. David was scared to death that he would lose the Ruach of life in him after his sin and realized what he did. You remember David, who wrote Psalm 51, got himself in a lot of trouble. He committed murder, adultery, he lied. Basically, he broke all of the Ten Commandments and tried to get away with it until Nathan the prophet spoke to him and confronted him, and then David broke. And in that process, he realized, and this was, for me, so powerful, that he could die. But I want you to understand that when he writes out his fear, see, the misunderstanding is that he would just spiritually die. David was literally afraid of physically dying. When he wrote in Psalms 51:11, he says, "Do not cast away from me your presence." And then he says, and do not take your, and in the Hebrew there, Ruach, your Holy Spirit, from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous Ruach, your Spirit. What David knew at that moment because of what happened, not only would he lose the presence of God, and he feared that, but he feared he would literally stop breathing himself. He literally feared he would expire. And he writes out of that realization, Lord, what have I done? And there was something so powerful about that moment that many of us today don't have. It ought to be something that it hits us. And I believe there'd be a lot more, well, I think there'd be some very powerful changes and a lot less sin if we realize the full impact of what was going on. David, all of a sudden, it hit him that literally the breath of God could stop being in him. He knew he would die. Ezekiel, just before 37 in chapter 36, defines and helps us understand that God's Ruach releases God's grace. I want you to apply God's Holy Spirit and connect it very powerfully to God's grace. Because there is so much of God's grace. And he says, and he's speaking to the people of God, he's speaking to you and I, this is often quoted, "I will give you a new heart with new and right desires." I'm going to change your attitude, your perception, the way you think, the way you feel. "And I will put a new ruach in you. I will take out this stony heart of sin and give you a new obedient heart. And I'll put my ruach in you so that you will obey my laws and do whatever I command." It almost sounds like there's somehow this control thing happening, or it can't. Let me tell you, what all of that is talking about, in essence, is that God would put his spirit in you, his ruach, and then there would come an outpouring of God's grace. I mean, how is it that we're going to obey the commands? How is it that we are going? See, God is speaking through the prophet Ezekiel, and he's saying to the people of God here, listen, I gave you the garden and you blew it, right? You disobeyed. I gave you the Ten Commandments, and you had a party. And I came down, and you just were ignoring everything that we had talked about. And you had to wander in the wilderness. I've given you the nation, and time again, you're disobedient. You keep disobeying. You don't listen really well. It almost sounds kind of like defeated and hopeless, and you kind of wonder, well, God, why did you bother with all this if you knew we would fail? You know what God's saying through Ezekiel? So that you would understand my grace and realize that apart from me, you'll never be successful. The whole point of this was to remind you that, sure, God knew that things wouldn't work out really well. So why bother doing it? So that we would connect with this reality. Without Jesus, without God in my life, I can't do this. And the response then ought to be, God, I desperately need you. You're not some nice idea that'll help me live life, but you start connecting with such a powerful understanding that every day you wake up, there's this realization, God, I take nothing for granted. I do not walk through this day thinking somehow I deserve anything. But by your grace, I breathe, and I know I desperately need you. And without you, I'm lost. And we don't live that way until we have a David moment. And then it hits us again. I am convinced we'd have fewer David moments with a prophet Nathaniel confronting us if we would start living with a new heart and understand the ruach in us and start listening. And so here comes this powerful statement when Ezekiel is about to declare something new and that he would, God says, look, I'm going to change anything hard in you, anything that is lost, anything that is calloused, anything that is dead, and I'm going to breathe life back into you. So now let me give you a clear word picture of how my grace is going to work. Ezekiel 37, verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley, and it was full of bones. This would make a great horror movie. If you did it the way that it ought to be done, you'd recognize that as far as Ezekiel could see, he is now literally in the midst of bones. Verse 2, he led me around among the old dry bones that covered the valley floor, and they were scattered everywhere across the ground. Now, you have to understand this picture that it is not just some little pile here, but as far as the eye can see, it's like this desert valley. Have you ever been in the desert? I used to live in Lancaster in desert. You go out in the desert And just if you can imagine a desert area, and not only are there bones, but they're totally disconnected. You wouldn't know necessarily, unless maybe you understood anatomy, that these were human bones. They could look like, they're just bones bleached. They're old. They've been there a long time. They are like, there's no flesh. There's nothing. It's just bleached out, dry, old bones. And when Ezekiel walked there and saw that, I believe that was a powerful moment. I have been to some concentration camps where I was walking on the ground and the guide stopped and said, I want you to know right now, you are walking on a field of bones. And when you stop there and you look out and you see this large open area and you see, and he said, you see the little sort of outcropping, he said, that's a bone coming through the ground. It is unbelievable. See, this was a very powerful moment for Ezekiel, because he's looking out and realizing these are people. This represents people. And so, verse 3, he asked me, son of man, can these bones live? Now, I want you to learn something from Ezekiel. I love Ezekiel's answer. My answer would be, well, duh, no, God. But look what he says. Oh, sovereign Lord, you alone know. Listen, when God asks you a question, don't answer. Just say, you're God alone, you know, whatever. I'm waiting for the answer. Because if you answer, you're in trouble. So Ezekiel teaches us how to answer God. You alone know. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones. Literally, speak to them. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I'm going to breathe, literally ruach, into you and make you live again. I will put flesh and muscles on you and cover you with skin. I will breathe ruach into you, and you will come to life. And then you will know that I am the Lord. That is so powerful. Here's what God says to you and I. Number one, God alone will transform you. But we are transformed when we have ruach in us. When you have the Holy Spirit, you are transformed. Definitely different. And you are born again. You live again. Nicodemus asked Jesus, so how does this happen? And Jesus said, you are born again. There's something that's so powerful. And when you've got ruach in you, we know the Lord. You cannot not know the Lord if you have ruach in you. Listen, verse 7. Nothing happens until God's ruach is in us. Listen. So I spoke these words just as he told me. Would you listen to what God is speaking to us? There are times when God is going to give you an opportunity to participate in a miracle. There are times when God's going to use you, and it may seem a little ridiculous. Trust God. I could just imagine Ezekiel, even though he knew God was speaking to him, that's got to be pretty rough to start preaching to a bunch of bones. Although I will admit there are times when I've been speaking and praying, might there come life to these bones? You knew I was going to say that, right? Oh, totally. I think the thing that Ezekiel had going for him was there was no one else around. Standing there and speaking out God's word to a bunch of bones, that's high risk. Wondering, did I really hear God? Is this really going to happen? But look what took place. Suddenly, as I spoke, and he's still speaking, he didn't even finish his sentence, There was a rattling noise all across the valley, and the bones of each body came together and attached themselves as they had been before. Then as I watched muscles and flesh form over the bones, the skin formed to cover their bodies. Now you got to admit, this would be a great movie. What a moment. And look at what's happening. Even though there was so much disconnection, even though they were unbelievably dead, God brought it all together and started to miraculously bring all the human parts together. You ever wonder how God's going to reassemble us when he returns? Here is a living picture of what God can do. God can take you, I don't care how scattered and decomposed and into ashes we might be, this reminds us God can do it. A lot of people ask me, well, how, I mean, there have been people dead for a really long time. These people have been dead for a really long time. And God can bring it together. But look what it said at the very end, as the skin was forming over their bodies. It says, but they still had no breath in them. They had no ruach in them. They were still dead. They were not yet alive. Nothing happens until God breathes in you. Nothing happens until God's ruach is in us. Nothing happens until we have the Holy Spirit. And literally, the ruach of God transforms death to life. And then he said to me, verse 9, speak to the winds and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says, come, O breath from the four winds, breathe into these dead bodies so that they may live again. So I spoke as he commanded me, and the wind, the ruach, entered the bodies, and they began to breathe. They all came to life, stood up on their feet, a great army of them. Here's a minute of that. Wow. Do you think God could breathe into his church and we could come to our feet and a great army could be standing? You bet. I believe that's the hope that we have of what God can do. You see, I hear God speaking to us that he's looking for men and women. Listen, who are willing to speak to the world around them. Because the world around us is dry and disconnected and dead. Are there Ezekiels among us? Are there those of us willing to hear the Spirit of God and go and speak and trust God? To go and serve and trust God? To realize that apart from God, nothing happens, and apart from God, there's only death. I mean, God's making it very clear to us that he is concerned about what's dry and disconnected. I hear that. And God's ruach is the fullness and the freshness of the Lord. You cannot live without the ruach of God in you. God's ruach declares that he is God alone. Now, let me be clear about something. As much, as hard as we work, all that we do, I want you to know you do nothing. Life only comes because of the Spirit of God. I know this is going to be hard for some of you, but none of you in this room has saved anybody. None of you have healed anybody. We can go all over the world and do some pretty cool stuff. We can be a part of some amazing things. But only God does the work. There's something that needs to be understood by the church today. God uses us, and we're an important instrument in the hands of God. But let's make this very clear. Apart from the Spirit of God, nothing happens. Without the Spirit of God, there is still death. So we go to a dry and arid land We go to Guatemala because it's dry and there's death and they need life. They need the Ruach of God. Look what he says, verse 11. He said to me, Son of man, these bones represent the people of Israel, and they're saying they have become old, dry bones. All hope is gone. I'm here to reinforce what God is saying. All hope is not gone. It is not over. I don't care how bad it seems. There is still hope. Don't lose that. He says, now give them this message from the sovereign Lord, my people. I'll open your graves of exile and cause you to rise again. Then I will bring you back to the land of Israel. When this happens, my people, you will know that I am the Lord, and I will put my spirit, my ruach, in you, and you will live and return home to your own land. Then you will know that I am the Lord. You will see that I have done everything just as I promised. I, the Lord, have spoken. God has a work. He makes a promise. He fulfills it. Israel has come together and is now a nation. Can you say amen to that? But this word doesn't stop there. It continues on. It's reinforced throughout the Word of God that this work would continue even here today. That he would continue to gather his people. And God is saying, listen and see my work. You are my agents of grace. Go and speak grace. Go and share grace. But realize the grace is mine and not yours. God says, I'll take care of your neighbor, of your family, of your parents, of your brothers and sisters. I'll save them, not you. I will transform them, not you. I will do amazing things using you. But realize it is by my spirit. It is by the Ruach of God. Or if you are looking, and it's interesting how consistent the word is, that as soon as we're done with Ezekiel, we're into the New Testament, and there again, the same Ruach is there, only now called the Pneuma. Pneuma, the breath of God. Look what it says in Romans 8:11. The Spirit, the Pneuma of God, who raised Jesus from the dead. Do you see what and how powerful the connection? Jesus was dead, and the Pneuma came back in. Life came back. And just as he raised Christ from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same pneuma living within you. You realize what? Oh, that is so powerful. The same pneuma that raised Jesus. I mean, that's like a lot of pneuma. Kidding. But when you think about that, that same pneuma is available for you. It raised Jesus from the dead. You have that available. And what this word is telling us is that God would set you apart and sanctify you, which means clean you, set you apart, and give you what you need so that you can be separate from your sin and live life as God has called you to. You know, it's interesting, and I was thinking about this, that when you breathe in, then you breathe out. Do you realize when you breathe out, you expire, you exhale, all kinds of stuff comes out, toxins, and there's all kinds of things that the carbon dioxide comes out. The things come out, right? I was thinking, what a beautiful illustration of what needs to happen in some of our lives. We breathe in life. And we breathe out the bad stuff. And maybe some of us need to stop holding our breath and breathe out again. Isn't that kind of the way of life? We never stop breathing. We breathe in, we breathe out. If you and I would just become aware of our breath again, perhaps it's time to breathe out some of the ugly stuff that needs to be breathed out. It's interesting. And I know this, that a lot of people suffer from a lot of illnesses and diseases and disorders because of lack of healthy breath. Do you realize that if you don't get enough oxygen in your system, that's a really bad thing? I bet some of you have heard of sleep apnea. Some of you haven't had enough. I already know you haven't had. Just looking at you, I can tell you have not slept well. And isn't it kind of crazy that you might miss out on what God has because you didn't get a good night's sleep? How sad that is. Because you didn't get enough oxygen into your brain to reinforce and to you know, you realize 80% of the nutrients that our body needs comes from the air we breathe. Can you believe that? And look how much food we eat. It just isn't necessary. Just breathe. A new diet. Breathe. There's something that is easily missed that is so powerful. We don't get enough oxygen. We don't get enough of the Spirit of God. We don't get enough of God's Word into us. And then we start to be starved. And now we're missing something. What we're missing is the Ruach of God. To have God's Spirit released. Look what the Word says. Now the Lord is the Spirit, again, pneuma, and wherever the pneuma or Spirit, the breath of God is, He gives what? Freedom. There is something that is flowing into us that can come out of us. There is something that is so powerful about breath. I want to encourage you to stop occasionally, put your hand on your chest and feel breath. Remind yourself that you are breathing. And then be reminded of how God works in our lives. God has given us breath. God has given us life. Without it, we're dead. Like what the psalmist wrote. You hide your face, they are troubled. You take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. You send forth your spirit, they are created and renew the face of the earth. Ruach. God's word is so absolutely consistent. Look what Jesus did. He's been resurrected. The disciples don't know it yet. They're hiding in fear. They're scared for their life. They watch this amazing rabbi that they begin to understand as the Messiah die in front of them. They saw his body without breath, and they knew the Ruach was gone. And they lost hope. They were confused. John 20:19, that evening, on the first day of the week, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. Peace be with you, he said. And as he spoke, he held out his hands for them to see, and he showed them his side. And they were filled with joy when they saw their Lord. He spoke to them again and said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. All right, go guys, have a good life. Look what he did. Read that. Then he breathed on them. He pneuma, he ruached on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus at this very moment to release them to go. He breathed on them. God is here to breathe on you. God is here to replenish the Ruach of God. Because you might be feeling a little dry, maybe a little disconnected. I want you to hear the word that God would speak to that dryness and to that disconnectedness, and bring life if you let him. Will you let God breathe on you? Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you that your word is so amazing. Wow. We're reminded again of why we have life. We see in our own breath how you work and what you do. We can understand a little more of your Holy Spirit because of how you built us to breathe. And Lord, I pray that life will come where there may be dryness. I pray there will be unity where it seems disconnected. I pray literally in front of us we will see the rebuilding, the renewing, the restoring of life because you breathe ruach into our soul, into every soul here. I want you to do something for me with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. I want you to take a deep breath in and just hold it for about 10 seconds. Just take a breath in and hold it and feel that moment. And then let it out slowly. And be reminded God would breathe in and then help you release by his ruach. There is deliverance and healing. Let God breathe life in.